When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Celtics Wednesday. Mego is here. Hello and season's greetings and happy holidays and best wishes to you and yours at this most joyous time of year. How are you?
I wish you good health.
I know. I don't know what it is.
My theory, it's stress. The holiday stress has gotten to you.
I don't feel like I'm somebody who gets stressed out, but maybe I don't even
know. You don't feel it, but your body does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, your body is acting out because you won't let you're too tough. You're like, I'm not stressed. I'm not a right. This right. Is, who cares about this stuff? Right. I got it all figured out. And then all of a sudden you're at urgent care.
Yeah. Well, I would prefer that to what WebMD says, which is I only have two days left.
Yeah. WebMD is always tumor.
Yeah always. I think it's IBS. Yeah.
It's like, you're like, I have a heel pain and they're like, it's a brain tumor.
Number one killer for men over 55. Stress.
Yeah. Do you think Costa Rica would make you less stressed?
I'm worried that I go to Costa Rica and then I have some kind of a medical emergency.
Yeah.
And I don't know, no disrespect to Costa Rica, but I don't know about the doctors and their qualifications.
Or mid-flight.
Well, I saw this. Oh, God. I didn't see this on TikTok. It was more
you're goner then.
More of an Instagram hack. Get yourself right now vacation insurance. Because if you go someplace, I'm dead ass, and then you have to go over there and you don't have like vacation insurance, you'll be down bad. I just saw some lady who
said, I'm sure, speaking of insurance, that they'll cover everything. Yeah. That you'll get all that money right away.
Does that work if you find yourself in like an Amanda Knox situation? Does it cover your attorney?
Good point. They go.
Telling you, vacation insurance, man. And it's cheap too. They got policies out there that are cheap, but get it now. You cover you for when you're, you know, out of the country. Help you out.
Before we get to the one team around here that we have very little issue with, where are you currently on Jerod Mayo? And the future at that position here in New England.
So I will say that I felt like Sunday was a turning point for me. And you can say that I'm late to the party on what I'm about to say. But I think that you should exercise patience overall with a rookie head coach, especially when you pair him with a rookie quarterback and the roster that New England did, and that you were a year early on your plan and exiting Bill out. But I do feel like the way that everything unraveled, not just on the field, but in the post game on Sunday, was so disappointing that it was the first time that I looked at the situation here with the coaching staff and said, even if you clean house completely around Mayo, it just feels like he would have to make a real jump next season to even get anywhere in meaningful progress. Right. Like, I don't think that you'd be in the playoffs next season around a winning record, but like, can you win 7 games next season? Could you even be around 8 and maybe be a fringe playoff team? The way that I came off of feeling Sunday with all the, you know, you said it, not me, I just thought that was a really, really low point for him and for the coaching staff overall.
And you'd have to be a fringe playoff team with Vrabel, because if you only have 4 or 5 wins, then aren't people going, well, maybe Vrabel's not the right guy? right? And don't we go down that road again?
So I think it's easy to look at the schedule and to look at the record and say, like, you are what your record says you are. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like this team is worse than the record says they are. Yes. Like, when I came off of Sunday, I looked at it and I was like, I don't even know how they won three games.
And you had 2 weeks to get ready for that
game. Yes. Yep. Everything, it's not just you are what the record says you are. The context around it actually feels worse. Mm. And that's where I think, even if you say, okay, well, if Vrabel was the coach or somebody else was the coach next season and you only have 7 wins or 6 wins, did it make sense to veer away from the Mayo plan? Well, as much as winning the games is what ultimately counts and getting into the playoffs and getting back to the Super Bowl, you also have to look at the direction of the team and the franchise overall. And it feels like we moved backwards this season. Right.
Which is weird, because I think if you were to ask Jerod Mayo and he had some truth serum, I think he would say that he feels the record is worse than what the team actually is. I think he would point to the fact that they lost some of these games in overtime or by only one touchdown.
Yeah, he said that before.
Yeah, so I think that while the fans, I agree with you, I feel like the team feels worse than what their record is. I bet Jerod Mayo would tell you that they're better.
And he deserves some of the blame, but the biggest problem person is Elliot Wolf. That's the guy you should move on from.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because if you bring Vrabel in and you stick with Elliot Wolf and then you don't bring any talent, because, yeah, Mayo's made mistakes. I agree with you, Greg, and we've kind of we go back and forth. But your team has zero talent other than the quarterback and Christian Gonzalez. And Barmore's been hurt for the majority of the year. Mm-hmm. No. But that's it. And that is clearly on Elliot Wolf's plate. He put nothing around Jerod Mayo. And he might be the guy who's like, we don't want to start Drake May in week one.
Yeah. All right, well, the NBA has a cup champion. What, if anything, can the Celtics glean from this?
So the Bucks won last night over the Thunder, and I actually think it's great for the Celtics. I think it's so great for the Celtics because I think it was even last week that I came on here and I said I have an 85% confidence meter in the Celtics winning the championship again, but I got to see them against the Thunder. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't seen them against the Thunder. They're going to play them in January. But the way that OKC fell apart against the three-point shooting from Milwaukee last night, I think is extremely indicative of how those teams, the Celtics and the Thunder, could match up against each other should they meet in the NBA Finals. I thought OKC looked like a young team who spun a little out of control in the second half and didn't know how to handle the Bucks' three-point shooting, which is mostly Dame Lillard. They outshot them 51-15. Now, if you look at the three-point shooting that the Celtics have, which is far and beyond anybody else in the NBA right now, as irritating as it might be to you, if you want another Boston championship, I think we saw a little bit of the roadmap last night, and it should be a big confidence boost for the Celtics. I don't look at it and say, ooh, Milwaukee's really scary. Like, we got to look out for Milwaukee. I looked at it and said, the Thunder still have a lot of stuff to work out, and you just got a little bit of an indication of how you could beat them should you meet them in the finals.
Right, and you're spot on when it comes to the three-point shooting. It really is Dame Lillard and maybe a sprinkle Brooke Lopez in every now and then.
It's not Giannis.
But the Celtics, that's what they do. You know,
And all of them do it.
Yeah, well, the team itself averages, I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong,
51,
and the next closest team is at like 43.
Right.
So you're always Celtics, and we might not like it, but that's what gives them the edge, because they're gonna keep hawking them up.
Yeah, and they're going to probably make them. I know we see these losses and these close games, sometimes against teams that are much lower in the rankings than them, where you see them shooting, they're making the attempts, but they're just, ball's not going in. And you say live or die by the three, but the law of statistics, unfortunately, not the way I want to talk about basketball, but it proves out for the Celtics with the level of talent they have.
For Kristaps, the heel injury, I mean, he's injury prone. That's something we can confirm, but he said he doesn't think it's anything major after the game.
Yeah, so I was at practice yesterday, and Joe Mazzulla said that Kristaps was doing some shooting at practice. He's day-to-day right now. He was also in the weight room. So it's not like it's something that sounds like it's super concerning. And I will say it's the other foot. Mm-hmm. So it's not the leg that he had the surgery on that he was rehabbing back from most of the season. I think it's just the way that you go with Kristaps.
Yeah.
You know, I love him, and I'm sure he wants to be out there, but they're also just going to be overly cautious with him, especially at this point in the season when it's December. Why are you going to push him against the Wizards? He played 11 minutes. Heel hurts. Get him out of there. Make sure that he's okay when the season and the seeding is really on the line.
Do you feel like there is any team that can give them trouble in a seven-game series? Because I don't feel like, whether it's the Eastern Conference teams or the Western Conference teams, just looking at them and watching some of these, I don't think there's any team that I would even be concerned about losing in a seven-game series.
I think it'll be interesting. I'm not concerned about a loss, but I'm just interested to see how the Bucks progress as the season goes on. Because if you think about what happened last season, they bring Doc Rivers in at a point in the season when the team's not even really practicing at all. And he's trying to figure stuff out on game day to game day. You have Damian Lillard out there who's totally miserable. He's like giving quotes about how he comes home and plays video games and he had no idea Milwaukee was going to be as miserable as it was as a climate, and his family's not there, and that town, like, Giannis sounds like he wants to leave. I still don't, like, you could have something quirky happen there. I just don't think it's in the East.
Okay.
And so out of these teams out of the West, I told you, like, I'm afraid of the Thunder's defense. They're a really good defensive team.
But
you see them
series.
Last night, and you're like, so you just outshoot them in a seven-game series.
And that's why when you look at some of these teams, I'm just like, unless somebody does something so crazy by the trade deadline, you know, which is possible, I just don't see a team that can beat the Celtics
or
in a seven-game series.
Or Chet Holmgren comes back, and he looks completely transcendent for the Thunder, and all of a sudden you're like, damn, that's a much more real team. It's not just SGA, but it remains to be seen.
I am interested in your perspective on NBA ratings, which are in the toilet.
Yes.
Christmas was their, they owned Christmas. Now Netflix is giving them, gonna give them a run for their money. Why do you think the ratings are down?
So I think it's pretty simple. And it's not the three-point line, and it's not off-court causes or anything like that.
Politics.
Right. No, I don't think so. I think, and you can completely argue with me, like, everybody's in, this is just my opinion, but they're down 28% through November 21st. At the same time, you have a $76 billion deal for TV rights for the NBA that just went through. It is a star-driven league, and I think you're in one of these cycles in the NBA where the stars that everybody knows, Curry, LeBron,
where
Kevin Durant.
Does anybody know where LeBron is?
Where does he want to be? Yes.
he's dealing with something physically hurt.
He is?
Oh, that's what he tells us.
I see.
So the most notable stars are
physically running to a lawyer's office? Or what is he doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I think he's waiting to get moved to Golden State.
Anyway, yeah. Okay.
Well, they're aging out of the league. And then you have this kind of like weird middle point where guys that you thought were maybe going to be a huge star, like Kawhi Leonard, have completely disappeared in terms of just a casual fan's consciousness. And then you have Jokic, Doncic, Giannis. And what I think you really need is just, I'm sorry, like, you look at what's springboarded the WNBA into everyday conversation.
Drama.
Stars, Wiggy.
Stars.
Yeah. And the WNBA?
Yeah.
It's two stars. It's Caitlin Clocker and Therese.
But
no one knows. People probably wouldn't be able to pick out Aja Wilson out of a lineup.
That's what I'm talking about, Wiggy. I think what people are really saying when they say the late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s were the best time for the NBA. And sometimes they talk about that as the style of play, as it wasn't so much three-point shooting.
Well, that's
it
was
a rough and tumble league.
Like, you don't think it has anything to do?
I think it all has to do with it.
It has to, like, 51 three-pointers a game. It's boring basketball.
Right, I think it's Wiggy, though. I think it is
drama.
All the guys are friends. Nobody actually hates each other anymore. There's no more rivalries.
There's no, like, Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah, there's not.
What people are telling you when they say the late 80s to early mid-90s was the best basketball is they're saying that that's when I knew the guys the most. And it goes into the drama.
Right.
That's when I knew the stars. I knew what teams they were on because the player empowerment movement has guys like Kyrie Irving bouncing around to four different teams.
Right.
It's not fun to follow. You don't form the same attachments.
But I would say this, though, about the ratings. We're moving this entire season In Boston, the NBA Finals averaged a 17-7 over the five games they played against the Mavericks, okay, which is lower than the Red Sox one-game playoff in 2021. It is, I think, half the audience that was there in 2010 for the seven-game series against the Lakers.
But who did they play in the one-game series?
The Patriots this year are in the 20s.
Right, but who did the Red Sox play in the one-game series?
It was the Yankees.
Right. Yeah. It's the drama. Yes. There's no drama in the NBA. Wait.
The NBA Finals, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers in 2018, a five-game series where it was a blowout similar to the Mavericks. Boston on Fox did a 38 over those five games, 21 share points higher than those past one. And the Celtics-Mavericks had a Super Bowl-like week-off buildup.
But there's no drama in Celtics-Dallas-Mavericks.
It's a championship.
It doesn't matter.
What's the drama with the Red Sox and the Dodgers?
Wasn't Mookie Betts playing for the Dodgers?
Exactly.
No. Mookie Betts was on the Red Sox.
What?
In 2018.
Oh, 2018. Oh. I'm sorry about that. I just think that
20 share points higher.
Right, but I think with the NBA, it's the lack of the drama. When I say the drama, it's like the rivalries. You brought up the late 80s, early 90s. There was still, whether it was Jordan and the Bulls versus the Knicks, you know, you threw the Pacers in there. There's just no, and I think you're part right, these guys go everywhere, and then where's the real, like...
The drama is locally in Boston watching a team that's been close to winning a championship for the last 10 years try and break through.
No, you're missing the point. When you want to watch a series, you're like, Dallas... Celtics?
It's Boston, not this country. Boston, the city of Boston, did a 17-7 in the NBA Finals.
Because
there's a ton of drama. Everybody here was watching it, we thought, but they weren't.
Even there, I think they're like, when you look at even now with Boston, it's still...
Kyrie Irving, that's a pretty big drama component.
Yeah, but it wasn't like...
Yeah, but Kyrie was pretending to be nice. Yeah. And that was fun.
So you guys would have said before that series, it's going to do a horrible rating on TV in Boston.
No, if Kyrie Irving would have said, you know what, I hate the damn Celtics. I hate everything about them.
It's the game. No, it's the way they play the game.
I think it's the personalities. I think it's the branding.
I would agree with
you. But NBA has the best branding. Like, they make every fan feels like they know them. I think that the NBA, when it comes to social media, is the forefront of how every league should be. Every league should look at the NBA and do exactly how they do.
I agree.
He's right to a degree. Nobody hates, like, you don't believe that they hate each other.
No.
Like, you know.
So where's the beef?
Like the Celtics hated the Pistons.
Jalen and Giannis.
Or even, right. Well, yeah, but that interests you more. Even like the Celtics, the big three, right? Mm-hmm. It was always about Pierce versus LeBron. There was drama there. And so as, you know, Celtics fans are just basketball fans. They love that element of the game. Yeah, I get the three-pointer might have turned off some people, but the lack of, you know, the rivalries, the lack of, like, the superstars are there. Anthony Edwards is a superstar. Jason Tatum is a superstar. Jaylen Brown is a superstar. Luka Doncic, like, they are there, the superstars. But I just think it's... Everybody's kumbaya. There's no like.
I don't know.
But that doesn't explain it.
You don't know which one of them are going to be playing. Like which game.
That's a part of it too.
That's a part of it.
Mago,
there's so many games.
Have you seen any ratings, Mago, this year for NBC Sports Boston?
So I don't know about NBC Sports Boston in particular. The 28% down is specifically this season up until November 21st.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of the year and the is Celtics winning it all? The in your mind. Top Boston sports story of the year?
So, given the conversation that we just had where I feel like nobody wants to talk about the Celtics now.
Drake May? Is that the...
I think it's just...
Bill going to college?
It's NFL. Oh. NFL has got to be the top always. Yeah. So, I think it's got to be Bill to UNC. That is just, to me, I wrote this last week, one of the more bizarre sports stories that I can remember outside of the courtroom. Mm-hmm. Outside of the courtroom. One of the more bizarre sports stories because it's a guy who's trying to reinvent himself at 72. We just don't see that often. I compared it to Jordan going to play baseball in the prime of his career. Right. Bill's not in the prime of his career, but it's such a strange swerve that you look at it and you say, can anybody really reinvent themselves this way?
And to her point with the Jordan, I would say either on the field, not in the courtroom, Bill and going to UNC is the biggest like sports story that I would be like, whoa. Even
yeah, but
bigger than
there's
Jordan.
Some recency bias there.
But it's like, still the greatest coach
like,
of all.
Drafting Drake May and what he's turned out to be is huge.
Bigger, what's the biggest story? And you might be caught. Mego, you might be right.
Red Sox re-signing Alex Cora?
No. Okay. When you talk about throughout sports history, through all of the sports, I don't think there's a
Joe Castiglione leaving?
No, right not
Hall of Fame Joe.
I think it's Bill going to UNC and Jordan going to play baseball. You got the greatest coach of all time going to UNC after he's been coaching for 50 years in the NFL.
Right. One got blackballed by the owner. The other got blackballed by gambling.
And the greatest basketball player of all time during his era is going to play baseball. There are no bigger sports stories, in my opinion, than those two. And whether who's first or second, you know, you could probably make the argument, but this is the biggest story we've seen in a long time.
All right. Well, it has been awesome having you on this year.
And, thank you. It's been a joy, a pleasure coming in every week.
We will watch what you are writing and hear what you're talking about, and we'll have you. I will see you in the new year.
Yes, 2025.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't sound like a real year.
It doesn't.
Can we get your articles on tape?
What does that mean? You want me to like read them like Audible?
Yeah, because I don't feel like reading.
AMSR?
Yeah, like, you know.
ASMR,
yeah.
I'm in the gym working out. I don't
with
feel
a bang,
like reading.
Greg.
All right, Mego, thank you. And here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Bruins beat the Flames in overtime 4-3. Credit to the Bees after a scoreless first period and going down 3-1 in the second. They clawed their way out in the third, and it was a David Pastrnak goal that won it in OT. The Milwaukee Bucks are your NBA Cup champs. The Bucks beat the Thunder 97-81 to claim the title, with Giannis Antetokounmpo winning MVP. And it feels like it's been forever since we've had a Celtics game. They've played just twice in the last 10 days. They take on the Bulls tomorrow at the TD Garden. And we can get excited, Red Sox fans. Craig Breslow says he isn't slowing down after the Garrett Crochet signing. Breslow reaffirmed yesterday while appearing on MLB Network Radio as he wants to do more to strengthen Boston's overall pitching staff. Today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is Sushi Madness. Pick up select varieties for $6 each. That's right, select varieties of sushi are $6 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art afresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 40 degrees in Boston, afternoon high 48.
Jones and Keith coming up at 10, just about a half an hour away. And the Bruins with a win last night. They needed that against a mid team, but they're a mid team too.
Yes.
So you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Can I ask our resident Scrooge or Grinch a question? Because we kind of were
talking. Are you talking about Curtis?
Yes, we were kind of talking about it a little bit and when Mego was here. So I'd like to know what, Curtis, you believe is the reason why the ratings are down in the NBA.
So, well, I would just go, well, nationally, I guess it's similar to locally, the product is not as compelling. 53
product
pointers.
Meaning the game, the
right.
Like the threes, the you never know, you can count on who's going to be playing. But
yeah,
nobody's playing defense. Like what? Like,
it's just get to half court and you're open, shoot it.
Right. But they were doing that in 2008. Was it 19 when the Celtics played Golden State? And you said the ratings were up a little bit. So it was still the 3-point shooting was there.
The Celtics Golden State was 2022.
2022, and the ratings were pretty good.
We're good. So the game seven of the Celtics Bucks in 2022, and I think the second round of the playoffs, did a 16.
Okay.
The NBA Finals, two series later, in Boston, averaged a 17-7.
Okay.
That means a hell of a lot of people that were watching then, for some reason, tuned out. Not to mention, since then, they have added out of home viewing to Nielsen ratings. So if you're at a sports bar, that counts.
Okay. It does?
Yes.
What about streaming and is all that?
All that YouTube TV,
all that's figured in.
Okay.
So when Mego says the ratings are down 28% year to year, that includes every platform, streaming, you know, those who disconnected cable. It doesn't matter.
Do you want to hear conspiracy, Kurt?
Yes.
So after they got the $76 billion TV deal, they're being more honest and transparent about the ratings because it's not going to hurt them.
Okay. So I mean, the product. So
I think the product, I think that it, never has there been more of a detached nature to the $100 million salaries, whereas in the NFL, none of them are really guaranteed. Baseball, it's, you know, their ratings aren't great. Hockey, they're much lower paid. The stars in the NBA, and they should, are making more money than basically like entire hockey teams
everybody
put together.
For, everybody except for Elon Musk.
Yeah, but right. Isn't that something, because you said baseball ratings were up.
No, they're not.
Oh, I thought you said that you brought up the World Series.
Baseball ratings were up compared to other years, but the baseball nationally as a product is not. Okay. I mean, they're about even with the NBA. It's slightly better depending on the matchup.
They're dropping.
The NBA, baseball, and hockey are now regional leagues. So if your team is good, you're invested, and it relies on a big market in the NBA Finals to succeed. What was shocking about this past year is that you had Dallas, a top 10 market, Boston, a top 10 market. You had a very long layoff, which is always good. The Super Bowl does great because everybody talks about it for a week.
You had a little of the drama that Wiggy wants with Kyrie and his return to Boston.
You want team because we know that Jalen, Jason love Kyrie and Kyrie loves them. It's very hard, I think, that to buy into any type of drama on the court when you see guys on banana boats vacationing together.
But the drama was so built in. It was finally you had Jalen and Jason, who have been fighting to break through for years together. That story was so compelling.
Yeah, but that's not a drama element.
In
Golden State series in the NBA Finals, there was actual Klay Thompson, Draymond was saying stuff about the fans in Boston. There was like real drama there. We've seen it. There was real drama back in the days. There was real drama. You brought up the 2010. There was real drama in the Celtics-Lakers series with the Big Three and Paul Pierce.
You thought it was going to be a poorly rated NBA Finals beforehand?
I didn't think the matchup nationally. Yeah.
You were the only person who thought that because literally nobody predicted that. People thought it would be record breaking.
No, I think that I think if it was Celtics-Denver. It would have did a better number.
No way.
I mean.
I don't know. It's like old head to say it, but it could also be the constant flopping and the looking for a call every five.
That's like the product, change of the game.
That's
but the product
kind of calls out the product. It's not the same as it used to be.
But that's changed in every
sport. It's the younger fan as well. Like younger fans just want to see the highlights after. They don't want to sit down and watch an entire game. A majority of them, like they're on TikTok. They want to just see the best plays.
That's a good point too. Younger people. When we think younger is like still 30, 35 years old, 28. A lot of these people are not glued to their TV to watch these games. You know why? Because they'd rather sit there and watch The Jackal, Yellowstone. Why do I want to sit here and watch an NBA Cup game when I can watch those? Where back in the day, even the younger people were more in tune to watching the sport.
Do you know anybody that was over 18 that was not tuning in to the NBA Finals?
No, I don't.
When you were growing up?
No, this year.
This year. Like, it was huge. Or it should have been huge.
Nah, I think that.
So you think people on June 7th said, you know what? I'm going to watch Yellowstone instead of game two of the NBA Finals?
Oh, yeah. I think there are plenty of people out there that do that.
I think you're crazy.
I think there are plenty of people. So then where are the ratings then?
The people, I told you, there is the product sucks. That's number one by a wide margin.
Okay.
Everybody gets up and bitches about a foul. The ref yells. People scream. It sucks. It's so repetitive. I don't think you need to watch an NBA game until about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's how I feel about it. Maybe
been
a lot of people
way
share
for
that.
A while.
Yeah,
too. They don't play till the fourth quarter.
I mean, but they
nobody plays defense at all.
Right, and all people go, "Oh, that should have been a hard foul. Oh no, these refs hate me. Oh, this announcer hates me.
And great. Look at that 508 text. Doctor diagnosing me with diverticulitis.
Ooh, that does not sound good.
I don't even know what that is.
That doesn't sound good at all.
That sounds like you might be dying.
You think that's a doctor?
Yeah, I would always trust the doctor that texts in.
I mean, whether it's in the I've had many diagnoses this morning via the Twitch, YouTube, text, everybody.
Right.
And it's also not a great business model to lecture to people how they're living wrong. or what they're doing wrong or how they believe is wrong. You're, like Michael Jordan was brilliant. Republicans buy sneakers too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot of the next generation that have never made more money than they do right now and are also making issues about a modern day life for other people. And I don't care. I watch, you know, it's my job. It's not something I care about personally, but there is an element where they turn off some of their audience. And I think that's been a problem as well.
This is Sam from East Boston, Wiggy. Hey, Sam. Hello? All right. I have Sam is not with us any longer.
Come on, Sam.
What about you want to talk to Dan? Mm-hmm. Dan from Connecticut. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Dan?
I just wanted to weigh in on that Gerard Mayo situation.
Yeah.
And I think that Mego had really a good point as patience. You can't hire a rookie coach for, you know, first year and then think about firing him, right?
Yeah, well, I don't see that happening.
I mean, you can if you made a mistake. You can if you decided early on that he was the guy and it wasn't, if you decided that not based on his football acumen, but on other things.
He's been in the organization for a while. I think you got to have patience. Like Mego said, you got to have some patience. He's got a quarterback. They got a foundation. I think they're going to do well in the next few years, but not right now.
Maybe Robert's kind of relatable to he's able to relate to Gerard for putting his foot in his mouth because he's the one who said, oh, I identified this guy 5 years ago. Right? Maybe if he doesn't say that, or you know, then it's not one of those things where like, all right, you can go, okay, I made a mistake after year one. It's time to move on. That's where I think the biggest problem is. You told us you identified this guy 5 years ago, and just all, and he's been in the building for what, you know, like 7-8 years.
Well, in and out.
You know what I'm saying? As a coach,
he went to the business world.
Right, but then when did he come? Like, he never coached before he went to the business world. So he was once he came from the business world. That was like what 7 years ago. He's been an assistant coach.
Been that long? I mean,
I think so.
The trip to Israel was 5 years ago or whatever.
Right, and he was coaching the team. He was like, you know, linebackers coach or something like that.
But
so.
It's interesting, Wiggs, and it's a good point about Kraft and those comments coming back to haunt him. He's doing exactly what Mayo's being ripped for, which is making a job that's already difficult harder. Where it's one thing to say that you found your coach and it's great. It's another to tell the world you're so smart, you're such an oracle that you knew this 5 years ago, which compounds this problem today. And Gerard Mayo saying all the things that he said that he's had to walk back, or the Elliott Wolf good vibes in Indy. Like, just try your best. Don't try and make it seem like you've outthought the room and you're somehow smarter than everybody
else. Well, it appears to people like you want the credit for finding Bill Belichick and then you want the credit for finding Gerard Mayo.
Right. Yeah. And you want no blame for how things went wrong.
And so I don't know how you move on from Gerard after year one when, you know, a lot of people think it is about the perception that maybe Robert wants. If Robert moves on from him after year one, I think then a lot of people will be questioning, like, his loyalty, some of the stuff he told us about, I identified this guy 5 years ago.
Wait. It could be diverticulosis, not diverticulitis.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Greg, did you possibly
go to WebMD and find out what the difference is?
Asking for a friend that's to my right here.
Yeah.
Did you consume shower water?
I did not. I don't think I did.
Yeah, warning you against that. Do not do that.
Can we come clean about that, Jackson, just as right before the
Curtis
new year?
Curtis, hand to God. That's why I threw up on the way here one time. I was thirsty in the shower, and I drank warm shower water.
Yeah, you don't want to be drinking shower water.
And then, so how long did it take before it was regurgitated?
About 15 minutes. Happened on 1A in Norwood.
Why
is your shower water that bad?
Right. I don't know. It was a bubble in my stomach, and I burped.
Oh, so it was probably something from the night before. It wasn't the shower water.
It was from the shower water, because when I burped, that shower water came up.
Yeah.
Do we have an update on the wedding?
We postponed it, as you guys know, but we're going to do it next year sometime and taking our time. And
Boy.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, it's good. We're
going to problem finding a venue, or what was
it? No, we found a venue, but it was just, it crept up on us too quickly. We didn't take into account all the work that had to be done.
Crept up on you?
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, and
yeah,
yeah, takes time though when you're planning a wedding, Courtney. You don't, you know that better than anybody. You gotta make sure you got enough time.
What if you guys got married at the Christmas Eve Eve party?
Hey, if there's any justice, maybe.
I think my dad's a justice of peace.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
The difference between diverticulitis and diverticulotis.
Losis.
Losis is usually asymptomatic, has no symptoms. However, when many diverticula pouches are present, the normal smooth working of the bowel can be affected. This may cause a range of symptoms. Then diverticulitis is the one that has symptoms.
You consume anything from a wet mock.
Do you have a fever?
I did not. No, I never had a fever the whole time.
Right, so you're good.
That's why the urgent care people were perplexed.
Right. Because if you're, generally.
No fever.
No fever. That's a good sign.
Any bloating?
I mean, generally. I mean, most every day, yes.
Right.
All right. We got to take a break.
Full body inflammation.
Are we doing our three favorite moments of the year before we get out of here?
I mean, we're running out of time.
We're ready to go.
Why don't we do that when we come back? One for Wiggy before we go. Your guy, Steve Perry.
Love Steve Perry.
Should be in Journey. You hate Filipino Journey.
Does he perform, does he tour, Steve Perry, just by himself?
Yes, I think he does. Why, would you like to go
see him? I would love to go if he's ever in Boston.
This Christmas album, I think it's like his third Christmas album, but this new one is really, really good.
I got to check it out. I didn't know because I never see him, touring. So I didn't know if he still did it by himself.
All right. What do we do? Three favorite moments of the year before we go today?
Three favorite moments.
Good idea by Curtis. Are we sharing them? Are there any in common?
There are a few in common.
All right. How are we sharing these? I assume they're on Twitch or YouTube for those who are watching the program.
Yes. Mitch is going to throw them up for those on Twitch and YouTube. We're going to start with Greg.
All right.
Who had for his number one spot, Olivia Culpo snub at the road show at Whalers.
I hate to do it to Eamon, but I think it was my favorite moment of the year.
That was a good one.
What was number two? Oh, Wiggy's boat ride. Yeah, I loved it. The fact that you overcame that fear and that you were so terrified at the Tipsy Seagull was one of my favorite moments. And what was the third?
Sununu's beer chug.
Yes.
Wiggy's voice has never been the same.
The governor of New Hampshire thinking he could out-chug me was one of my favorite moments. All right.
We're going to go to me next.
Okay.
My number one, Joe Landry at Veterans Day show. The interview with Joe Landry.
Shoot, I forgot about that. That was a great moment.
Yep.
100-year-old Joe Landry, World War II veteran. Yes.
Yeah. Number two was the national anthem at the road show at Bernie's.
Very patriotic.
Oh, yes.
It was so good.
By a service member. Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then the third was in Bermuda.
You just like a trip.
I do. But I just had, it was a quintessential perfect vacation. Uh-huh. And it was mixed with work, and I just had such a great time. So for me.
It was the interview with the tourism director.
No, it was actually good bonding time with my boss.
No, I was.
Okay. Wiggy next. Wiggy loved when Danielle won Ernie Bach's $20,000 grand prize at Toys for Tots.
What is it that you loved about that weeks ago?
It was like she wanted it, but it was like looking around the room, and then you said something to Ernie, like, hey, what's going on here? It was such a funny, awkward moment.
Like she wanted the cash? I mean, who wouldn't?
I would have took it.
Very odd.
Okay. His second one, Olivia Culpo snub as well. And his third, spoiled fan, I wasn't here for this Costos-Curtis showdown.
Oh,
that was classic.
Oh, you enjoyed Nick Costos going at Curtis last
week. He went at Curtis like he was...
Okay.
That was good. Yep. And then Curtis up next. His number one was the Neutralized from Mayo Monday.
Bam! Neutralized.
Number two was James being cute. Nailed it.
Yep.
And number three was the Walk Back Burn from this past Mayo Monday.
That was a good burn.
Ken had a three-way tie.
Oh, Ken Laird? You asked Ken Laird for his favorite
moments
of the year?
Yeah. Right. Greg's contract extension, my contract extension, and Curtis's contract extension.
He's such a kiss ass.
I have a question. Why would this show be getting all these contract extensions? Don't you read the Twitch chat? I mean, the thing is totally unpopular.
It is.
Nobody listens.
I didn't realize that.
Such a weird thing for people to do to get contract extensions.
New president, new money.
Right, Trump money.
And lastly, Jackson. Jackson top three moments. Jay Leno at the car show Newport.
Yep. Jay Leno was a great guest.
Yeah, he was really good.
Remember when he was talking about how they used to have to get nudes at the photo mat?
Take them down there.
Get them developed. Yes, okay.
Number two, the spoiled fan, Kostos and Curtis showdown. And the third, Wiggy's boat ride.
Yeah, pretty good. All right. A lot of great moments. Too many to mention. Too many to remember. It's been an unbelievable year. And so we cannot thank you enough for your support of this radio show. However you have given it to us, whether it's in person at a road show or a broadcast, or whether it's watching every day on Twitch or YouTube or listening on the app or listening on the radio or showing
clap back in the Twitch chat. Jay Leno was awful. He's such a boring guy.
I mean, I enjoyed Jay Leno.
I thought he was great.
That was the least boring thing ever.
Right, yeah. Being a radio guy, I hear a lot of interviews, and, you know, some of them were kind of boring. That was fantastic. He was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's the way it always is, Curtis. You can find an opinion that
always
that differs.
For every tale that's on the coin, there's always a heads.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Greg.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Greg.
Feel better.
See you next year.
I hope so.
Is that?
I hope so.
Is that the saying now? Will we see you next year?
Yeah, you'll see me next year.
See you next year.
All right.
All right.
Well, keep the seat warm if you could.
Oh, we will.
That is it.
Are you going to die?
That was a good one, too.
I really don't know.
Oh.
I think you got to find a PCP.
I do. I have to find that. I got to find that.
That's definitely going to make it to the final four of drops this year. Are you going to die?
Are you gonna die? Yeah. All right. Well, you guys are here tomorrow.
Here tomorrow.
6 a.m. bright and early with Bill O'Brien and with Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday. Jones and Keefe are next. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. And however you celebrate, I hope you get to celebrate it with friends and family and have an unbelievable time this holiday season. And talk to you again soon.